Welcome students. So today we are going to go ahead with chapter 5, demand forecasting. The objectives of this chapter are to introduce the relevance of demand forecasting in business, to understand the types of demand forecasting, to explore qualitative techniques of forecasting method. Apart from this, we'll also focus on the quantitative and to point out the limitations of demand forecasting. So basically, what is demand forecasting? What are the types of demand forecasting? Qualitative and quantitative methods of demand forecasting? And finally, the limitations. Okay, let's go ahead. So we start first with how do you define or what do you understand by the term forecast? Forecast is an estimation or prediction about the situations which are most likely to occur in the near or distant future. We all know that the future is uncertain. The business understands that future cannot be predicted. But to take calculative risk, to take decisions based on some estimated calculation is where demand forecasting plays a very important role. What is it that makes the future uncertain? We have picked up certain endogenous factors which are beyond the control of a company or organization, like changing prices, competition level in the market, overall economic activity like production, distribution, government policies, exchange, etc. So the managers need to know how these endogenous factors or external factors are going to impact the demand behavior in the market for the products and services. So in demand forecasting, there are certain tools and certain methods which you cannot say give you 100% accuracy, but at least it gives you some estimate so that the decisions based on that estimates can be undertaken. It minimizes the risk and the margin of uncertainty in business. So when we talk about the scope of demand forecasting, or what does demand forecasting aim at, we say the main aim of demand forecasting is to minimize risk and the margin of uncertainty in the business. So these are the two most important part of demand forecasting, or we can say the scope of demand forecasting, that we need to remember. We move ahead. The same thing, I've just a recap to reduce the risk and uncertainty which the firm faces in the short term so that its decision making can be much more calculative, and on that basis it can plan for its future long term growth. Now, many a times the companies are found to be using certain macro forecast which has been made by the government, especially with respect to change of government policies, taxation policies, changing norms and strategies, which play a very important role for the firm to estimate its sales, its profits, and its future market strategies. In this slide, we introduce you to the two approaches to demand forecasting: qualitative approach and quantitative. The qualitative approach, it is revolving around understanding the buyer's intentions and the buyer's information. So the qualitative approach would be more towards getting the consumer information, like you say the consumer database. Most of you may be aware about it now, that lot of consumer spending database is created and generated by the company. Sometimes you are surprised when you are browsing net over your selection of products, and you may get many such advertisement following your area of interest. Now that's a very good example of how qualitative approach is used by a company to understand the intention of its spenders. You search for certain products and you will get n number of companies who would be catering to your area of interest. This is qualitative approach. Quantitative, as the term quantitative, calculation, numericals. It is used by the company where the data is available. You may go to a restaurant, you may go to a hotel, you may go for a movie, wherever you might have given some feedback, some data. So your data can be used by the company, okay, in order to obtain some future level expected demand. So if you are traveling by a particular airline, how often you travel with that airline, the airline can use that quantitative data of its customer base and accordingly introduce some promotional schemes that they are coming up for their frequent travelers or frequent flyers. Qualitative approach is considered as short-term demand forecasting, and quantitative is mostly categorized or pushed into the long-term forecasting. Why? Because data can be acquired and more useful when a company is tracking the behavior of its customer. If you are buying a particular brand, let's say you go for buying a pair of shoes. If you have bought, let's say, Adidas, or you go for any branded and you are frequently buying a Nike or a Adidas product, the company has your data. Now the company observes your data and on that basis comes up with its discount offers for you as a selective and as a brand loyal customer. So quantitative data can be generated over a span of years, whereas short-term data is like you can just get buyer's intention. So I can say both are important in forecasting. Short-term is like the first-hand information which can be further used, analyzed for long-term predictions. Now we are going to understand each one at a time. So we start first with qualitative approaches to demand forecasting. And here we have two approaches under qualitative method: expert opinion method, and second is consumer survey method. Consumer survey method is further classified into three subgroups: complete enumeration, sample survey, and use method. So you have to memorize this. Qualitative approach is expert opinion and consumer survey. Consumer survey can be taken up in three ways: complete enumeration, sample survey, and use method. This approach is mostly popular for short-term forecasting. It will not give you very long-term results. So you cannot use this forecasting method for, let's say, 5 or 10 years forecasting. And it is very useful and found to be very beneficial when a company is forecasting for its new products. So this is important, especially when new products are launched. We go ahead. Here we will go in detailed understanding of what expert opinion method is about. This method is popularly known as a group discussion method, which was developed by Osborne in 1953. You might have heard about brainstorming sessions or structured discussions. So that is something which comes under expert opinion method. In expert opinion method, we'll have a panel of experts from a particular field, and we can let them discuss. Like company is going for designing a new product. So if they are designing, let's say, a new cell phone, a new smartphone. So those who have long-standing experience, let's say you have the engineers, you have the technicians, you have the sales managers, you have the finance managers, the entire team will get together. And of course, the marketing team also. Now the product designing, will that design be approved? Why it should be approved? What type of design would be, how would it be better? I mean, there can be n number of areas on which the discussions can go on. Very, very popular for the companies to come up with some valid outcome after this brainstorming sessions. It's basically ideas, new ideas. In this expert opinion method, which was, you know, the group discussion which was developed by Osborne, we had another, you can say, expertise by which was developed in the Cold War time and that was known as Delphi technique. Now, Delphi technique was used during the Cold War because they wanted to understand how technology can impact the warfare. So when in defense sector, when the country is thinking of bringing new weapons or new technology, then how this technology, how this technology will be useful, especially in predicting the future strategies of its enemy or of its opponent. So in this technology, why it should be used, when it will be used, how it will be and all, there was a Delphi technique which was used. It was not like a brainstorming session, because your technology is already decided, it has to be introduced. But the question comes is how this technology will be used and how it will impact the future war situation or future defense situation of the country. So repeated opinion of the experts was sought. Okay, there was no face-to-face interaction. Now this is important. If there's no face-to-face interaction and still we are getting the expert's opinion, then we will classify it under Delphi technique. So Delphi technique is not like group discussion. In group discussion, it's a face-to-face brainstorming session. But in Delphi method, it's like a questionnaire. You try to get consolidated opinion of your experts. Make them think over. Give them the questionnaire, let them answer it, come to see whether the opinions of the experts are similar or vary. Again, give them a questionnaire, try to seek out. So it's like a repetitive exercise. This is overcome by Delphi method. It works here. As I said, Delphi method is very, very popular. All those brainstorming session issues are overcome in Delphi method. Because here there is no type of, you know, ego clashes when there's a face-to-face brainstorming session. Questionnaires are given, they are presented to the panel, their feedback is taken. When their feedback is taken, whatever results we arrive, that results on that responses which we get, we take a weighted average. So whatever majority have voted for, that would be considered as a final selection. Very, very useful but time consuming. But yes, it is found to be more peaceful than the brainstorming sessions. After understanding the expert opinion method, as we move to the next, which is called consumer survey method. Consumer survey method is said to be the most direct method. So very simple, you go to the customer, give them a questionnaire, tell them to fill it up, and you come to know what their intentions is, how they feel about the product, especially used by companies who are into service industries, hotel services, travel and tourism services, okay? Or you may visit, like you may go to a college and attend their, let's say, induction program. It's very easy for the management to get the view of the students by presenting them some type of questionnaire. Knowing what they feel, whenever there is a change required to get the idea, the first-hand information is consumer survey method. You require a skill for preparing and framing the questionnaire. It has to be very simple. See that all the points that the company is looking for, all the information that the company is seeking for should be covered in the questionnaire. So it's an expertise job. And today we have data analyst, we have research skilled professionals who are very quick in preparing questionnaires. You give them the topic, you tell the company may give them the idea what the company seeks for, and you get the right type of questionnaire being prepared. So it's a very upcoming field and very popularly used by companies, especially when they want customers' direct intention and very honest intention of the customer when the company needs. So very useful. But there are three ways of getting this consumer survey. The first is complete enumeration. Now, what does complete enumeration? The word comes census data. It's only under census data that the complete enumeration of the consumer can be attained. All the consumers have to be covered, whether it is past, present, or future possible consumers. Now, this all opinions of the consumer, which has to be obtained in census data. You know who does this job better than the government? Yes. The government sector is always an active participant in getting census data collection. Therefore, many marketing companies rely on the government data for getting the authentic, or you can say unbiased, information. It's a very large scale survey, not possible for private organizations to undertake it, and therefore this data is very popular among the government sector. Aadhaar card is an example of complete enumeration, voter's card, biometric. I'll give you a very simple example. Today companies are going for biometric login and logout. That will be complete enumeration for the company, because all the employees working for that company have to comply with the biometric system, and that is complete enumeration. Okay. Here there's a last point which says, if opinions are not authentic, results are questionable. It means when we talk about complete enumeration, everyone who is involved should be covered. Biometric system. Every employee in the company should be covered under the biometric system. And therefore, today we have SAP, a system where the entire database of the employees is getting updated. Companies are always looking for how this database can be made fully complete. So it's very easy to know whether the authenticity has to be checked. So today we have biometric system, we have system where the employees' data can be cross-checked, it can be tallied to see whether the data provided by the employees is authentic or not. Aadhaar card is one very important document which is linked with the authenticity of any data of a person with respect to India. Complete enumeration. After complete enumeration under consumer survey is sample survey. Sample survey. Now, the word sample means few. It does not cover all the population. It covers only a few representative, usually used in research. Here we can take a response of few customers whom we will select, and on that basis we will apply that data for all the others. It is said to be a very fast, very less expensive method of demand forecasting. And it is very popular in case of new brands and new products which the company is launching. So few customers are selected, their feedback is taken, and on that basis a generalized decision or conclusion is derived. One example is shared to you over here of consumer survey method. Let's say there are 2,500 consumers of a product. Only 100 are selected. And information collected from this 100 will be applied to 2,500. Now you know what's going in your mind. You say that 100 is a very few representative of 2,500. So what should be this percentage? Sometimes company takes 20% of the given. Here we have taken just a few, but usually 10 to 20% needs to be taken. This is just hypothetical. To make you understand ki sample matlab agar 2500 ka population hai hamara, population word is used not for the entire population but few consumers. So population will represent in that particular product. For a let's talk about a health snack. We'll talk about oats. Now how many consumers are preferring to buy oats? Oats is a health snack. So if we have 2,500 consumers who have this health snack, then we will take 100 or 200 of these consumers. And then we will select this 200 consumer and try to understand their demand behavior. So we will total it out, multiply with 2,500 and divide by 100. So we get the percentage. So this is a very easy method used especially for research and for making some type of testing some hypothesis. how does food impact, how does the food intake impact the like a particular food, and how does it impact the heart health of the person? So is consumption of a particular product affect the health heart of a person? So it can be correlated. You open the newspaper and you will get so many such surveys and researchers which are being continuously done by various universities on understanding the health pattern and the consumption habits of the people. Exercise and health. How does exercise and health and productivity? Very useful for companies. The number of working hours and the productivity of the employees and the type of food that they have. Now in your office, if you want to use consumer survey or sample survey, out of the employees who are having, you can say who are having food from canteen, office canteen, you can take a very random sample survey. You can take the, first you should know the total number of employees who prefer to eat from the office canteen. And out of those, you can select a random and you can see that how does food relate with the productivity of the employees? And then you can make some type of predictions. So these type of small mini research using sample survey is very useful when a company is thinking on certain changes, or you can say that they want to bring certain improvement with respect to internal organization. Here we have the third method, which is called end use method, falling under consumer survey method. End use method, a product having several end uses. What does it mean? It means that a product which is in a semi-finished form. Let's talk about steel. Now steel will have many end users. Steel is purchased by a construction company. Steel is purchased by an automobile firm. Steel is purchased by household sector and so on. So when a company is selling a product which is in a semi-finished state, it's very important that they need to identify their customers in each segment and then find out the probable demand of the customers from all this segment, add it together to derive the demand forecast. So end user method kahan use hota hai? Jahan par company is making a product which will have many end users, and they also from different fields and different areas of business. Once we have done with that, we are moving to this slide, which represents the quantitative approach of demand forecasting. As you can see here, students, the quantitative approach have time series, moving average, exponential smoothing, index numbers, regression analysis, and econometric models. So we will try to understand these different methods of quantitative approaches to demand forecasting in the further slides. Here we begin first with the very first quantitative approach, which is time series. Time series is a statistical tool to predict the future values of a variable. Now remember the word variable. So we need to have one variable and we have to observe that variable over a given period of time. Time series is purely a numerical statistical data that is available to us. We are not going to make any change in that data. We are only going to observe the path of this data. So when any statistical information is given to us, let's say we talk about the sales of a company, or we talk about let's say we track the internet usage of the customer for a particular company, let's say Jio. So the data that we get, we have to first classify that data, identify that data. Now when you get a data, a statistical data on consumers' internet usage, or you get a data on let's talk about sales and profits of a company, what you have to first do is identify which category the data belongs. Like here we have secular trend, symbolized as capital T. Now what does T stands for? T stands for that data where the change is occurring consistent, matlab there's a consistency, either it is increasing or it is decreasing. Now if you talk about number of commuters traveling by Mumbai metro, will that be a secular trend? So when the Mumbai metro started and till date, the number of commuters is consistent, it is increasing, or is it same? So you get that data, you observe the data, continuously increasing or falling. Secular trend is T, consistency. So the word here is consistency. Okay, either it is continuously increasing or falling. Seasonal, S, seasonal, the word seasonal, season. So which are the products which will have a high demand during a particular season and a very low demand and on other alternative season? Peak and off-peak bolte hum usko. Yes, what's coming in your mind is rainfall. During rainfall, the demand for umbrellas are going to rise. Or during winter, the demand for, let's talk about winter creams may go up. During summer, the demand for ACs, refrigerators will increase. Seasonal trend. Thank you.